Matthew Henry's commentary reading, Numbers 14, verse 20. And the Lord said, "A pardon according to your word. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land in which he went, and his seed shall possess it." Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. "Tomorrow turn you and get into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in mine ear, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, unless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell in, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun, but your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bury your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days in which you searched the land. Even 40 days each day for a year shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years. And you shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it to all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die." Matthew Henry Commentary. We have here God's answer to the prayer of Moses, which sings both of mercy and judgment. It is given privately to Moses, verses 20 to 25, and then directed to be made public to the people, verses 26 to 35. The frequent repetitions of the same things and to speak these resolves to be unalterable. Let us then see the particulars first. The extremity of the sentence is receded from verse 20. "I have pardon," so as to not to cut them off all at once and disinherit them. See the power of prayer and the delight God takes in putting an honor on it. He designed a pardon, but Moses shall have the praise of obtaining it by prayer. "It shall be done according to your word." Thus, as a prince, he has power with God and prevails. What countenance and encouragement God gives to our intercessors for others, that we may be public-spirited in prayer. Here is a whole nation rescued from ruin by the effectual fervent prayer of one righteous man. See how ready God is to forgive sin, and how easy to be entreated. "Pardon," says Moses, verse 19. "I have pardon," says God, verse 20. David found him thus swift to show mercy, Psalm 32, verse 5. "He does not deal with us after our sin," Psalm 103, verse 10. But secondly, the glorifying of God's name is in the general resolved upon, verse 21. It is said, it is sworn, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Moses in his prayer had shown a great concern for the glory of God. "Let me alone," says God, "to secure that effectually and to advance it by this dispensation. All the world shall see how God hates sin, even in his own people, and will reckon for it. And yet how gracious and merciful he is, and how slow to anger." Thus when our Savior prayed, "Father, glorify your name," he was immediately answered, "I have glorified it, and will glorify it yet again," John 12, verse 28. Note, those that sincerely seek God's glory may be sure of what they seek. God having turned this prayer for the glorying of himself into a promise, we may turn it into praise. concert with the angels, Isaiah 6, verse 3, the earth is full of his glory. Number 3, the sin of this people which provoked God to proceed against them is here aggravated, verses 22 and 27. It is not made worse than really it was, but it is shown to be exceedingly sinful. It was an evil congregation, each bad, but altogether in congregation very bad. They tempted God, tempted his power, whether he could help them in their straits, his goodness, whether he would, and his faithfulness, whether his promises would be performed. They tempted his justice, whether he would resent their provocations and punish them or not. They dared him, and in effect challenged him, as God does the idols, Isaiah 41, verse 23, to do good or do evil. Next, they murmured against him, as much insisted on in verse 27, as they questioned what he would do, so they quarreled with him for everything he did or had done, continually fretting and finding fault. It does not appear that they murmured at any of the laws or ordinances that God gave them, though they proved a heavy yoke. But they murmured at the conduct they were under, and the provision made for them. Note, it is much easier to bring ourselves to the external services of religion and observe all the formalities of devotion than to live a life of dependence upon and submission to the divine providence in the course of our conversation. Thirdly, they did this after they had seen God's miracles in Egypt and in the wilderness, verse 2. They would not believe their own eyes, which were witnesses for God that he was in the midst of them of a truth. They had repeated the provocations 10 times, that is very often. The Jewish writers reckon this exactly the 10th time that the body of the congregation had provoked God. First at the Red Sea, then at Marah, in the wilderness of Zin, at Rephidim, the golden calf, then at Taberah, then at Kibroth Hattaavah, and so this was the 10th. Note, God keeps an account how often we repeat our provocations and will sooner or later set them in order before us. And fifthly, they had not hearkened to his voice, though he had again and again admonished them of their sin. Number 4, the sentence passed upon them for their sin. First, that they would not see the promised land, verse 23, nor come into it, verse 30. He swore in his wrath that they should not enter into his rest. Psalm 95, verse 11. Note, disbelief of the promise is a forfeiture of the benefit of it. Those that despise the pleasant land shall be shut out of it. The promise of God should be fulfilled to their posterity, but not to them. Number 2, that they should immediately turn back into the wilderness, verse 25. Their next remove should be a retreat. They must face about, instead of going forward to Canaan on the very borders of which they now were, they must withdraw towards the Red Sea again. Tomorrow, turn you. That is, very shortly you shall be brought back to that vast howling wilderness, which you are so weary of. And it is time to shift for your own safety, for the Amalekites lie in wait in the valley, ready to attack you if you march forward. Of them they had been distrustfully afraid. Chapter 13, verse 29. And now with them God justly frightened them. The fear of the wicked shall come upon him. Thirdly, that all those who had not grown up to men's estate should die in the wilderness, not all at once, but by degrees. They wished that they might die in the wilderness, and God said amen to their passionate wish. It made their sin their ruin, snared them in the words of their mouth, and caused their own tongue to fall upon them, took them at their word, and determined that their carcasses should fall in the wilderness, verses 28 and 29. And again in 32 and 35, see with what contempt they are spoken of, now that they had by their sin made themselves vile. The mighty men of valor were but carcasses when the Spirit of the Lord had departed from them. They were all as dead men. Their fathers had such a value for Canaan. did they desire to have their dead bodies carried there to be buried, in token of their dependence on God's promise that they should have that land for a possession. But these, having despised a good land and disbelieved the promise of it, shall not have the honor to be buried in it, but shall have their graves in the wilderness. Fourthly, that in pursuance of the sentence they should wander to and fro in the wilderness, like travelers that have lost themselves for 40 years, that is, so long as to make it full 40 years from their coming out of Egypt to their entrance into Canaan, verses 33 and 34, thus long they were kept wandering. First, to answer the number of the days in which the spies were searching the land, they were content to wait 40 days for the testimony of men, because they could not take God's word, and therefore justly are they kept 40 years waiting for the performance of God's promise, and that by this they might be brought to repentance, and find mercy with God in the other world, whatever become of them in this. Now they had time to bethink themselves, and to consider their ways, and the inconveniences of the wilderness would help to humble them and prove them and show them what is in their heart. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2. Thus long they bore their iniquities, feeling the weight of God's wrath and the punishment. They were made to groan under the burden of their own sin that brought it upon them, which was too heavy for them to bear, that they might sensibly feel next what a dangerous thing it is for God's covenant people to break with him. You shall know my breach of promise, both the causes of it, that it is procured by your sin. For God never leaves any till they first leave him, and the consequences of it, that it'll produce your ruin. You're quite undone when you are thrown out of covenant. And fourthly, that a new generation might in this time be raised up, which could not be done all of a sudden, and the children, being brought up under the tokens of God's displeasure against their fathers, and so, bearing their whoredoms, that is the punishment of their sins, especially their idolatry about the golden calf, which God now remembered against them, might take warning not to tread in the steps of their father's disobedience, and their wandering so long in the wilderness would make Canaan at last more welcome to them. Seems that upon occasion of this sentence Moses penned the 90th Psalm, which is very apposite to the present state of Israel, and wherein they are taught to pray that since this sentence could not be reversed, it might be sanctified, and they might learn to apply their hearts to wisdom. Number 5. The mercy that was mixed with this severe sentence. 1. Mercy to Caleb and Joshua. Though they should wander with the rest in the wilderness, yet they, and only they of all that were now above 20 years old, should survive the years of banishment, and live to enter Canaan. Caleb only is spoken of, verse 24, and a particular mark of honor put upon him both, and the character given of him. He had another spirit, different from the rest of the spies, an after spirit which furnished him with second thoughts, and he followed the Lord fully, kept close to his duty, and went through with it, though deserted and threatened. And 2, in recompense promised to him, will I bring in due time into the land whereunto he went. Note, it ought to be the great care and endeavor of every one of us to follow the Lord fully. We must, in the course of obedience to God's will and of service to his honor, follow him universally, without dividing uprightly, without dissembling cheerfully, without disputing, and constantly without declining, and this is following him fully. Those that would follow God fully must have another spirit of the world, and another from what their own spirit has been. They must have the spirit of Caleb. Those that follow God fully in times of general apostasy, God will own and honor by singular preservations in times of general calamity. The heavenly Canaan shall be the everlasting inheritance of those that follow the Lord fully. When Caleb is mentioned, verse 30, Joshua stands with him, compasses the same favors, and crowned with the same honors, having stood with him in the same services. Secondly, mercy to the children, even of these rebels. They should have a seed preserved, and Canaan secured to that seed. Your little ones, Now under 20 years old, which you, in your unbelief, said should be a prey. Dim, will I bring in. Verse 31. Did invidiously charge God with a design to ruin their children. But God will let them know that he can put a difference between the guilty and the innocent to cut them off without touching their children. Thus a promise made to Abraham, though it seemed to fail for a time, was kept from failing forevermore. And no God chastened their transgressions with a rod. Yet his loving kindness he would not utterly take away. Numbers 14:36-45, the death of the evil spies. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, and made all the congregation a murmur against him, by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that brought up the evil report on the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were the men that went to search the land, they still lived. And Moses told these sayings to all the children of Israel. And the people mourned greatly. And he rose up early in the morning, and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Why now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? It shall not prosper. Do not go up, for the Lord is not among you, that you not be smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them even unto Ormah. Here is, first, the sudden death of the 10 evil spies. While the sentence was passing on the people before it was published, they died of the plague before the Lord. Verses 36 and 37. Now, God by this showed his particular displeasure against those who sinned and made Israel to sin. They sinned themselves in bringing up a slander on the land of promise. Note, those greatly provoked God who misrepresent religion, cast reproach upon it, and raise prejudices in men's minds against it, or gave occasion to those to do so who seek occasion. Those that represent the service of God as mean and despicable, melancholy and uncomfortable, hard and impracticable, needless and unprofitable, bring up an evil report upon the good land, pervert the right ways of the Lord, and in effect give him the lie. Secondly, they made Israel to sin. They designedly made all the congregation murmur against God. Note, ringleaders in sin may expect to fall under particular marks of the wrath of God, who will severely reckon for the blood of souls, which is thus spilt. God by this showed what he could have done with the whole congregation, and gave an earnest of the execution of the sentence now passed upon them. He that thus cut off one of a tribe could have cut off their whole tribe suddenly, and would do it gradually. Note, the remarkable deaths of notorious sinners are earnests of the final perdition of ungodly men. 2 Peter 2, verses 5 and 6. Thus, the wrath of God is revealed, that sinners may hear and fear. Number 2, the special preservation of Caleb and Joshua. They live still. Verse 38. It is probable that all the 12 spies stood together, for the eyes of all Israel were now upon them. Therefore it is taken notice of as very remarkable, and which could not but be affecting to the whole congregation, that when the 10 evil spies fell down dead of the plague, a malignant infectious distemper, yet these two that stood among them lived and were well. God hereby confirmed their testimony and put those to confusion that spoke of stoning them. He likewise gave them an assurance of their continued preservation in the wilderness, when thousands should fall on their right hand and on their left. Psalm 91, verse 7. Death never misses his mark, nor takes any by oversight that were designed for life, though in the midst of those that were to die. Number 3. The publication of the sentence to all the people. Verse 36. He told them all what the decree was which had gone forth concerning them, and which could not be reversed, that they must all die in the wilderness, and Canaan must be reserved for the next generation. It was a very great disappointment. We well thank to Moses himself who longed to be in Canaan, as well as to all the people. Yet he acquiesced, but they wept and mourned greatly. The assurance which Moses had of God's being glorified by this sentence gave him satisfaction, while the consciousness of their own guilt and their having procured it to themselves gave them the greatest vexation. They wept for nothing, verse 1, and now they have cause given them to weep. So justly are murmurers made mourners. If they had mourned for the sin when they were faithfully reproved for it, verse 9, the sentence would have been prevented. But now that they mourn for the judgment only, their grief came too late and did them no service. They found no place for repentance, so they sought it carefully with tears. Hebrews 12, verse 17. Such mourning as this there is in hell, but the tears will not quench the flames, no, nor cool the tongue. Number 4. The foolish, fruitless attempts of some of the Israelites to enter Canaan, notwithstanding the sentence. They were now eager to go forwards towards Canaan, verse 40. They were up early, mustered all their force, got together in a body, and begged of Moses to lead them on against the enemy. And now there is no more talk among them of making a captain to return into Egypt. They confess their fault. We have sinned. They profess reformation. Lo, we be here, and will go up. They now desire the land which they had despised, and put a confidence in the promise which they had distrusted. Thus, when God judges, he will overcome, and first or last, will convince sinners of the evil of all their ungodly deeds and hard speeches, and force them to recall their own words. But though God was glorified by this recantation of theirs, they were not benefited by it, because it came too late. The decree had gone forth. The consumption was determined. They did not seek the Lord while he might be found. And now he would not be found. What men would but be as earnest for heaven while their day of grace lasts, as they will be when it is over, would be as solicitous to provide themselves with oil as they will when the bridegroom comes. How well were it for them. Secondly, Moses utterly disallows their motion and forbids the expedition they were meditating. Go not up. Verses 41 and 43. He gives a warning of the sin. It is transgressing the commandment of the Lord, who had expressly ordered them when they did move, to move back towards the Red Sea. Note, that which has been duty in its season, when it comes to be mistimed, may be turned into sin. It is true the command it refers to was in the nature of a punishment, but he that has not obeyed the law is obliged to submit to the penalty, for the Lord is our judge, as well as lawgiver. He gives them this warning of the danger. It shall not prosper. Never expect it. Note, it is folly to promise ourselves success in that which we undertake contrary to the mind of God. The Canaanites are before you, to attack you, and the Lord is not among you, to protect you and fight for you. And therefore look to yourselves that you be not smitten before your enemies. Those that are out of the way of their duty are from under God's protection, and go at their peril. It is dangerous going where we cannot expect God should go along with us. Nay, he plainly foresees and foretells their defeat. You shall fall by the sword of the Amalekites and Canaanites, who are to have fallen by their sword. because you are turned away from the Lord from following the guidance of his precept and promise. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. Note, God will certainly leave those that leave him, and those that are left of him lie exposed to all misery. Number 3, they venture notwithstanding. Never was people so perverse and so desperately resolved in everything to walk contrary to God. God bade them go, and they would not. He forbade them, and they would. Thus is a carnal mind enmity to God. They presume to go up to the hilltop. Verse 44. Here they struggled against the sentence of divine justice, and would press on in defiance of it. They slighted the tokens of God's presence, for they would go though they left Moses and the Ark of the Covenant behind them. They had distrusted God's strength, and now they presume upon their own without his. Number 4, the expedition speeds accordingly. Verse 45, the enemy had posted themselves upon the top of the hill to make good that pass against the invaders, and being informed of their scouts, of their approach, sallied out upon them and defeated them. It is probable that many of the Israelites were killed. Now the sentence began to be executed, that their carcasses should fall in this wilderness. Note, that affair can never end well that begins with sin. The way to obtain peace with our friends and success against our enemies is to make God our friend and keep ourselves in his love. The Jews, like these our ancestors, when they had rejected Christ's righteousness, attempted to establish their own, and as bad as this did. End of chapter, Matthew Henry's commentary.